Hi, I'm Dr. Chloe Carmichael. Thanks so much for joining me in this module about space, how to create an attractive and inviting space. And that is going to extend not only to your physical space, but of course, now to your online space as well. For those of you that are doing online therapy sessions, as more and more people are, it's a great way to connect with people all over the globe. So I like to think of your space, whether it's physical or virtual, as an extension of your body language. So just like we're careful, I hope we are, about what we wear and how we present ourselves and the social signals that we're sending there, I want us to start to think of our space in the same way. So there are some basic things about your space, like obviously, for example, it should be organized, it should convey a certain amount of thought. And just to remind us, we're looking here in this video series for therapists and coaches that want to work with high-functioning people. And we want to convey a certain amount of social convention, understanding of social norms within our space. So for example, sometimes I see therapists or coaches that have like kind of a chair that's like in the very center of the room, and they're going to be staring at that chair throughout the entire session or something, because a lot of high-functioning people actually are a little bit prone to anxiety, which for them is actually even kind of a positive thing. They tend to have a little bit of anxiety. Being in the middle of a therapy office in a chair, I know from our therapist's point of view, the message we're trying to send is, hey, you're on the stage, I'm looking at you, I'm focusing on you. But for many therapists, something like that, or for many clients rather, something like that can actually make them feel kind of anxious and put on the spot. So for example, in my offices, in every one of the three therapy rooms that I have, everything is always arranged the same. So there's always a couch, and then there's the therapist or coach's chair is right here, so that you're sitting at a right angle, so that you feel like you're sitting close, but you're not necessarily sitting, you know, directly across from each other. But you'll be able to find the right space for yourself. I'm certainly not here to tell you, you know, I guess I am a little bit here to tell you what you should do, but ultimately it's really up to you. I'm just bringing up some things that you might want to think about. I'm going to start with what I call the low-hanging fruit, and then we can get into some of the more sophisticated, nuanced points, some homework and things like that. But if the things I say to you at first just sound very basic, you know, don't worry about it. We're going to be getting to some more things. But I've actually been rather surprised sometimes at some of the very basic things that I've noticed in therapy offices. I've gone to many therapy offices personally as a client, and I've also visited a lot of therapy offices as a consultant. And one of the things that sometimes surprises me, for example, is the mess, frankly. Basic things, you know, you need to obviously, you know, have your garbage taken out literally every single day. You know, there should be no coffee cups laying around. You know, your desk should be clear. The plants, I've seen so many therapy offices more often than not that have some kind of a plant, you know, that has browning leaves or something like that. The art on the walls, oftentimes, you know, again, I don't mean to be critical here, but a little bit of the point of this video is, you know, to talk about some of the common low-hanging fruit blunders, you know, that I see many therapists make. And a lot of times I see the art on the walls is a little bit depressing, actually. So a lot of times it'll be like some kind of charcoal drawing or stick figure, you know, that just as a psychologist who has studied, you know, drawings and things like that, if I were to be analyzing the drawing, I would say this was made by a person that's depressed or something. So we don't want to skew on the depressed side with our art. Also, we don't want to skew on the simple side. I kind of avoid anything that says live, laugh, learn, dance like nobody is watching. I would skip anything that has, you know, anything that really could be considered trite. Because if you're going, again, for high-functioning people, number one, you don't want to go for kind of a depressed down theme. but you also want to make it clear that you're offering more than, you know, just some kind of a pat answer that they could find in Chicken Soup for the Soul. So what should you put on your walls then, now that I've like said all the things that you should not put on your walls? If you're looking for high functioning clients, and I just want to reemphasize that, you know, some people are looking to work with, you know, clients that have cognitive disabilities or who have schizophrenia or, you know, all kinds of other issues. And, you know, that's fine. And I don't claim to know how to set up a practice that's going to work for those types of people. But what I do know is how to set up a practice that works with high functioning people that tend to have, you know, kind of corporate jobs, and they're just coming to you as a therapist to help them sort out some emotional stuff or maybe some business things, you know, that have gotten a little bit overwhelming for them. Those types of people tend to feel secure in an environment, maybe that has a little bit of art on the walls that's tasteful and understated. Think of something like you might see in kind of a corporate waiting room, lobby, something like that. Also, I would be careful about the shape and the size of the art. I also see a lot of therapists, and I don't mean to harp on the art here, but again, I just want to say that as mental health professionals, coaches, therapists, etc., we are supposed to be the experts in social signals. So these things are actually quite important. If you were an accountant, I'd be talking about other things that might be important in your office. But as a mental health professional, as a coach that's helping high functioning people who already have basic social skills, they're looking for somebody that can help them navigate things that are maybe a little bit more subtle and a little bit more nuanced. And so your body language, your presentation, your space is actually quite important. So if you're not much for decorating, don't worry. There's some homework at the end about, you know, you can just invite a few decorating friends over, let them dive in. You don't have to do every module. So I'm kind of apologizing in advance that some of this stuff is going to be a little bit detail oriented. But for those of you that really do want to dive in, I'd invite you to think about this next issue about the art, which is, how does it fit your space? I see a lot of therapists who have that couch. Many coaches or therapists have a couch, and then they have some kind of a square piece of art right above the couch, but it's almost like it's crushing down on the person. I want you to get a rectangle. If you have a couch and you're putting the art above it, make it kind of fit the dimensions of your couch. Let's also talk about your degrees or your credentials or your certificates or whatever it is that you have. I hope that you have them framed and put on the wall. And what I'd also like you to think about is which wall they go on. In all of my offices, what I've done is I've put my degrees in a place where the client will immediately see them when they walk into the office, because obviously we want to set a tone of professionalism. However, they're also put into a place where the client will not see them while they're engaged in the therapy session or the coaching session with me, because I don't want them to be looking at me and like, oh my gosh, she has 6 degrees on the wall, you know, feeling intimidated. It's important to a certain degree to establish her expertise, but at another point, you don't really necessarily want people looking at them. Where I have put them, the person who is going to see them, is me. I've put them in a place so that when I'm looking at the client, my degrees are in sight. And that's just kind of a subconscious reminder to me at all times of my professionalism and my training. So when I'm looking at the couch, I have that beautiful art above the couch, you know, so it's not like I've got all those degrees hanging above the couch. But on the other wall, kind of next to it, is where I have my degrees. So your degrees should absolutely be on the wall so that when the client comes in the room, they see them easily. In my opinion, you don't really want the client looking at the degrees throughout the session, but I do find it helpful to have them in a place where I can look at them throughout the session. Another thing that I do in my offices is I have a mirror available, a little mirror on the wall, a nice mirror with a little vanity table underneath it, because with high functioning clients, if they do get a little bit tearful in the office, you know, maybe they're touching onto some sensitive material, it's really helpful for them to just be able to kind of take a quick glance in the mirror, put themselves together a little bit. Not that people are always, you know, weeping or, you know, going to pieces in my office, but it's nice for them to be able to do that. And guess what? It's also nice for me. So when, you know, again, just like your space is an extension of your body language, every time before that I go to get a client, I take a quick look in the mirror to make sure, you know, that I myself am looking, you know, polished and professional, you know, just making sure of that. So as you set up your space, I encourage you to make sure that it's absolutely clean and organized. If you have any issues being the person to make sure that the garbage is taken out every day, the space is tidied and organized. In my office, we actually have somebody whose job it is to go around to every single office and make sure that all of the pillows are put into the right place, that there's always at least two spare boxes of Kleenex, because you can bet, of course, somebody is going to run out of Kleenex at some point. You don't, like, that's the worst moment, right, for you to suddenly have to say, oh, gosh, excuse me, let me go get this Kleenex from under the couch or wherever it is. So we always have at least two spare boxes of Kleenex with the tops of them already taken off in kind of a discreet place. Another point about tissues, and I realize it might seem a little bit ridiculous, you know, that we're spending, you know, 5 minutes talking about tissues, but on the other hand, we have to remember that this is actually, you can imagine a therapist or even really a coach's office for those coaches that do work with emotion, that we want to have tissues. So one other important and final point, I promise, about tissues, is that the tissues should not be scented and should not have a lotion on them. A lot of, you know, high functioning people tend to, you know, have very kind of sensitive skin and things like that. So definitely avoid any tissues that are scented or lotiony. Certainly also nothing really cheap. I just go with, you know, Kleenex or Puffs. The kind of generic Kleenex or Puffs is the brand, but just with their most basic type of tissue. And I know I promised that was the last point, but I do have one more point about the tissues, which is that I'd like you to also put them in some kind of a cover or some kind of a holder, just, you know, to add that little extra layer of polish. It may or may not seem important to you, and I'm sure that if I were to actually ask my clients, is it important to you whether or not the tissues are in a box, they would say, I don't know and I don't care. But remember, we're talking about subtle, unconscious body language, extended space language types of signals. And so because, you know, the tissues are actually rather important, I would encourage you to put a little bit of thought and a little bit of polish into making sure that there's absolutely no issues with your tissues. These are just little things. Also, we do have a checklist available. So since you're taking the video course, you will have access to a checklist. There's a lot of little things that we do to make our space and our physical space winning and professional. We also have water coolers available. I think that it really models self-care. So we always have one of those Poland Springs water coolers available with cold and hot water, because sometimes, of course, there's some day when your air conditioning is running over time, and high functioning clients, many of them tend to be on a diet or they're on the slim side or whatever. And so the slightest chill, you know, they're suddenly shivering. Another thing that I do in my space for my chair and in every one of my offices for my therapists as well, is I actually have a little blanket on the therapist or coach's chair. And for the men out there, this might not be as important, but for us women, when we're wearing a skirt, it's knee length. We sit down, we cross our legs. Next thing you know, that skirt is up to mid thigh and your client is sitting there looking at you. And, you know, I mean, I'm not the modesty police, so this is not an issue about, you know, anything along those lines. But I can tell you, I've been on the other side of that, you know, looking at somebody who was wearing, you know, maybe what was kind of a fine skirt, and then like they sat down and crossed their legs and it kind of rode up, and the whole thing can just kind of get a little bit unprofessional. So what I always do is I always just keep an extra blanket sitting right there on my therapy chair, my coach's chair, and then I always just can put it down in my lap next to me. So I want you to make sure that you put a lot of thought into your space. Some of the homework that we have coming up will encourage you to do things like invite some friends over to your space that are really good at decorating. Everybody has a friend or two. To be totally honest, I'm not like super good at decorating, which is totally fine. My spaces absolutely look great because I had some friends come over and give me their unadulterated feedback. What the homework will encourage you to do is have those friends come over And before you tell them what it is that you want your space to communicate, ask them to give you 7 words that come to mind about your space, and have in advance an idea of what you want those words to be. Maybe it's, clean. Maybe it's professional. Maybe it's serene. Maybe it's welcoming, soothing, success. You also, of course, want a place that broadcasts success. If we're dealing with high functioning people, they want to come to somebody that can help them navigate. And if your space doesn't look like you're very professional, it's going to be off to an awkward start. So have in mind what it is that you want your space to communicate. Do your best shot yourself after you watch this video and go over the checklist and think about all that stuff. And then have some friends come over, 2 or 3 friends. Ask them to give you 7 words that come to mind that just describe your space, and see if those 7 words are on point for you. Now, because they're your friends and they're positive and they know that this is new for you, they might be kind of consciously or unconsciously prone to give you positive words. So if those words are all positive, just say, thank you so much. What really helps me is to also be able to have some constructive criticism and things that I can try to work on. So can you please give me 7 more words that are at the very least neutral, like not necessarily like you're trying to say anything positive or negative about it, but just that describe the space, actually really that are specifically not positive. Words that are either neutral or negative. So you can really solicit that and say, I really want to know what are the things that I can work on. Another thing I like to do is to ask those visitors to give me, if you had to spend $300, let's say, if you had to, what would you get? What would you do for the space? And I want to underline again, by the way, you do not need to spend a lot of money on this stuff. What I'm talking about is really demonstrating some thought into your space and demonstrating an awareness of social convention. So trying to make your place look, I don't want to say boring, but I would rather, as a therapist who's trying to attract high-functioning, sophisticated corporate clientele, I'd rather have your space be considered a little bit bland than a little kooky or a little eccentric or a little over the top. Again, it's totally up to you, but many of these clients are really just seeking somebody normal. Is like one of the most popular words. They're like, I'm just looking for somebody normal. Or when they're looking for a boyfriend, or they're looking for a job or whatever, they all say, I just want somebody normal. So please try to make your space look normal, and keep a wish list. So when your friends contribute some ideas, like, oh, it'd be really great if you did this or that, or yourself, it would be so nice if I did this or that, go ahead and keep a wish list. I also encourage you to brand your space. So for example, in my space, because I'm so big into having people write things down, because again, with high functioning people, we're list makers, we're proactive. That's why you're watching this video. You're a high functioning person yourself. The last thing we ever want is for anybody in our office to be scrambling for a pen and for you to have to be digging through your purse or whatever. So in my office, there's always a bunch of clipboards with some pads on them. And I happen to like, what are they called? I'll think of the brand later and I'll put it into the resource thing. But there's special pads, special note pads that have designated areas for note taking on the sides as well as lined to just help people organize their thoughts. I put those in my offices on clipboards, and I have pens and everything. And all of this is branded. I have my logo and my contact information and my social media subtly, but all over everything, so that people have the opportunity to just connect with that later. I've had people tell me, oh, I started this list in your office of things I can do, to increase my self-esteem. And I took the pen with me when I left, and it's really helped me, it helps me to reconnect back to that list I made in your office. So I encourage you to go ahead as well and make sure that, you get notepads and memo little stickies, everything. Go to Vistaprint, you know, Printing for Less. There's a lot of really good websites out there where you can go ahead and get branded. It also shows investment, it shows professionalism, and it shows forethought that you were ready for this. But one thing I also did want to share about space is that once you have your space exactly the way that you want it, or at least that it's good enough for the time being, I want you to go ahead and have it photographed. Whether you can have a professional photographer, that's great, or maybe you even just have a friend with a camera, please don't do it yourself with an iPhone. Please do not do that. Make sure that you have somebody come over that knows something about photography, that's using a professional camera. Have them take some photos of your space. Maybe even also have them take some photos of you. Go ahead and put those photos onto your website, onto your Psychology Today profile, onto your IFC profile or whatever for those of you that are in coaching. For consumers, it's actually very important to be able to see your space. It's, again, very much like seeing you. We all know that, for example, with dating profiles, the dating profiles that don't have any photos, there's no chance, right, that anyone's going to go to those people. Similarly, I don't think any coach or therapist at this point, very few of them, would attempt, you know, to attract business without posting some kind of professional photo. The next step is to post a professional photo of your space, because high-functioning clients, again, they're thinking about where they're going. We've all had the experience of going into a doctor's office or a massage therapist's office or whatever, and just, you know, kind of having kind of a feeling that it's not really quite up to what we want. You definitely don't want your clients to come into your space and feel like they're taking a step down. So go ahead and reward yourself for all of that effort of creating a beautiful space by making sure that you photograph it and sharing that photo online. Now, let's go ahead and talk a little bit as well about your digital space. More and more of us are doing therapy online. And since, again, the point here is that we want to build a profitable practice, profit oftentimes comes down to supply and demand. So doing things online, offering online sessions, frankly, my practice has clients for coaching that are located in Korea, Angola, Japan, Mexico. We have coaching clients everywhere because we're really big into video. When you do a video session, and I've actually published on US World News as well about looking for online services, I see so many therapists just kind of get in front of their, you know, laptop, and it's like they're, you know, at some kind of a coffee shop or whatever. They think that just because they're on a video session, suddenly their space doesn't matter. And I would just, again, like to just really disabuse you of that notion. Your space always matters. When you're in an online space, one of the things that's going to matter a lot is background noise. So I would encourage you to use a platform. You know, there's a lot of good ones out there, and I'm going to put some of the specific brands that you might consider into the resource page. There's a lot of really good HIPAA-compliant platforms. I happen to personally like the ones that allow you to have a video connection going and also dial in on your phone into that video connection. So that if the, you know, video connection freezes for a minute or 10 seconds or 2 seconds, you don't miss what the person is saying. Also, what it allows you to do is to have a headset that will have, you know, earbuds plugging directly into your phone so that, you know, you're not just listening through your computer. Also, if there's any background noise going on, I know this all might seem like it doesn't really matter and like I'm getting a little bit over the top on the details here, but if you're working with high functioning people, the details matter. And if you're trying to establish a relationship, you know, with somebody over video, sometimes people have a little bit of a hesitation. Oh my gosh, is this going to work or whatever? So you really want it to be a seamless experience for them. So I would encourage you to make sure that you're in a nice, well-lit place, that your face is 100% in view. Some of these things I know sound very obvious, but you'd be surprised how many people don't do them. Please, two or three friends, maybe not the same friends that you asked to do your decorating stuff, maybe the same friends, I don't know, but get two or three friends to make a video appointment with you. Whatever your video software is that you're using, ask them to pretend like, you know, they've never heard of you, they don't know you, and they're just going through this process from the very beginning, and they're supposed to meet you online for their video appointment and get their feedback. Make sure that you are logged into that video session at least 5 minutes beforehand, because the last thing, you know, that you want to be doing is sitting there saying, you know, like you don't want to be going through any kind of technical difficulties on your end. What you're trying to communicate again with high functioning people is that you're the expert, you've done this before, the technical issues are the last thing on your mind. You're ready with your notes from their previous session, and it's just like you're right there with them. And in order to create that, you do have to put in a little bit of extra time and effort. You know, good for you. You don't have to worry about some of the other things that we have to worry about in a physical space, but you do have to think a little bit more about making sure that your online experience is totally seamless, and make sure that you have that person's phone number directly and easily available as well, so that if there's any kind of a issue connecting with them, you can call them right away. Another thing that I do in my office is that when we have somebody who's making a video appointment, what we do is we always send them something saying, oh, we're so, you know, glad that you made this video appointment, we're ready to help. And then it says, and we actually highlight this part in the email in yellow to make sure that they see it, we put, let's do a test run. How about if you meet us, and it's not, you know, me personally at this point, you know, if you have any, you know, we can talk later about how to find, you know, affordable staff for those of you that are just starting out, or a friend or whatever. But it's very important, I think, when you're doing that video session with somebody, to encourage them, not just offer, but encourage them to go ahead and try out your software and do a test run where they just meet you or somebody else online, and it's just a 1 minute test run to make sure that everything's working. And we do this for every single video appointment, even if the person is a repeat, and we put right there in that highlighted part, hey, this is great to do. If you're going to maybe be using a new device, even if you've used our online services before, if you're just using a new device, or you know, you've just gotten a Windows update, or whatever the case may be, we're always here to do a test video with you. So if you're getting into video therapy, good for you. I would just encourage you to also think a little bit about what's going on in the background. So some of the successful types of backgrounds that I've seen have been people that, you know, maybe have all of their degrees in the background. You know, there's green screen options. I'm literally right now sitting in front of a green screen. I know you can't see it. It looks like I'm sitting in a beautiful office with a plant behind me, but it's a green screen. So there's green screen technology replacement that you can do, but if you don't want to get that fancy, it's totally fine. But just make sure that you do have some kind of a professional background behind you. And also think a little bit about the camera angle. So here you can see the camera is looking directly at my face. Many of you are going to be on a laptop for your video sessions. That's totally fine. Just go ahead and put two or three books underneath your laptop so that the camera of your laptop is going to be directly at your face. And again, I encourage you to make sure that you're actually using some kind of a headset so that your audio is going to be totally crystal clear. I've done a lot of work in television, and what producers will always tell you is that the public can forgive bad visual, but they cannot forgive bad audio. As a psychologist, I can tell you the same. If we're trying to follow a conversation and the visual gets a little bit blurry, it's fine. But if we are missing out on the audio, we're dead in the water. So just to make sure that your voice is coming across as clearly as possible, just like as you can see, I'm using a little mic right here. I'm not asking you to have a clip-on lavalier mic like I have, but make sure that you at least have a headset. If you're trying to do a video session and you're just relying on the audio of your laptop, could be a little bit dicey. A few things that I do want your space to communicate about you, just to wrap up here a little bit, is that number one, we want your space to show that you're organized, that you've put some thought into this, that your space is branded, if possible, with pens or papers or whatever. I would also encourage you to think about your space as being kind of a calm, serene space, if that's what you're trying to do, or a little bit energizing or professional. Those of us who have a therapy rather than a coaching background may know that there's such a thing as transference. And as coaches, you probably know this intuitively, that when a client meets you, they have a tendency to kind of idealize everything about you. And that can be something that you need to work through eventually. But at first, it can actually be a positive thing, that when the client is meeting you, they're imagining all kinds of really good positive things about you. And so you want your space to reinforce that. So, you know, whether it's making sure that you have fresh plants or fresh flowers, or making sure everything is super, super, super clean, making sure that the art is suitable in the way that it looks, as well as the way that it's hung, as well as the way that your degrees are positioned, as well as your online space and your audio quality, and the fact that you're reaching out to people in advance even to make sure that there's no technical issues that are getting in the way of you having the very best session that you can. I hope that you really will consider these things. And we do have some homework as well to help guide you through these steps so that you can use your support network. Another thing that can be fun if you're thinking about what you want your space to look like is to do something that people in marketing and advertising do, which is that when they want to create a campaign, they have something called a mood board, which, you know, other people in our areas of fields, we might call it a vision board or something like that. So whether it's on Pinterest or whether it's an actual poster board that you get, go ahead and, you know, just buy like 10 magazines, or on Pinterest, just go and create a board that says My Office, and just pull a bunch of images that speak to you and to your office and to the image that you want it to have. Some of the images don't even necessarily have to be of offices. One might be of, say, a skyscraper. If you're like, so here I am in New York City, so I might be thinking, for example, of a skyscraper, you know, things that you would put on this vision board or this mood board. On your either a poster board or a Pinterest board. So something just that speaks to you. Other things, for example, might be images of a person laughing or of a person feeling understood. Images of success, again, for those of us that want to have a profitable practice. Put all of this together on some kind of a vision board or a collage or whatever, and use that as your guide. That's what a lot of people in marketing or advertising do. And then when you do have people over to your space, show them that board and say, you know, do you feel like this is going in the right direction? It can also be a really good idea maker, so that when you have those people over to your space and you're asking them for the feedback, you can provide some on-the-spot inspiration as to, like, here's the kind of mood or feeling that I'm looking for, and ask them for their input. One of the questions that I also get a little bit sometimes about the space is actually about lighting, and I do think that's a really important one. In my offices, we always have about 3 or 4, even though my offices are very small in New York City. I'm sure you can imagine the rents are terrible, so our offices are on the small side. But even in those very small spaces, we have 3 or 4 little lamps rather than overhead lights. Not only is this generally considered a little bit more tasteful, but it also helps people to open up. Studies have shown that people do tend to open up more and feel just a little bit more relatable when they're in a space like that, as opposed to feeling like they're kind of under the bright interrogation lights. So again, it doesn't have to be expensive or anything like that. The lamps in my office, you know, generally came from Target and Amazon.com. But I would just encourage you to go ahead and get some little lamps. And of course, make sure you always have, you know, 5 or 6 spare bulbs. You definitely don't want anybody, you know, coming in where your space doesn't feel like it's 100% always on point. You don't want any burnt out bulbs or anything like that. but I would definitely make sure that you do have some good lights. You know, all the fabrics and everything like that has to feel nice. In my office, I don't really go for, you know, a cold corporate feeling. It doesn't have to. When I say corporate, I don't mean sterile. My offices actually tend to, I think, feel a lot more like maybe you're going over to a good friend's house and you're just going to sit on the couch together and open up a little bit. But it's a friend that has just kind of a nice, well-appointed, decorated space. So it's a little bit of a balance, and everybody's going to have, you know, a different space. But whatever it is that your space is, I want it to be deliberate by you. So go ahead and, you know, think about doing the homework of, you know, making a mood board or having some friends over to give you some feedback, or going through the checklist that we also have available. And remember, you don't have to do it all in one day, but the important thing is to have goals and to have your space organized so that it's going to be a wonderful space that you really enjoy being in, and that your clients will come in and not only feel comfortable, but also be able to recognize that they are in a very professional, very well thought out space. So thank you so much for watching this again, especially for those of you to whom decorating in space is really not something that typically interests you. You are actually the people that really maybe need to even consider watching this video again, because the space is an extension of your body language. It is an extension of your professionalism, whether it's your physical space or whether it's your online space, and the way that you navigate within that space, whether it's through your inviting people for that test run, or just making sure everything is working well within your space. I can't not stress to you enough how important it is to have a space that works. So go ahead and set your space up for success. So thank you so much for watching this module on how to create an attractive and inviting, winning, successful space, whether online or in person. And I'm looking forward to connecting with you, hopefully, if you are joining into the group calls. Thank you for joining Profitable Practices.